So we have been walking through a series, just a very unique series compared to what your normal sermon time is in church. The first Sunday in the series, I gave you guys a whole sheet front and back, and we went through it pretty thoroughly on tips, tools, and techniques on how to study our Bible. And my goal in this series is to inspire you and let you leave here with the confidence of saying, you know what, I can do that. And I've limited myself, and in the whole month, I've not used any tools other than the tools I gave you. So that when you came in here on a Sunday, there was no extra stuff, there was no anything. It's just, I'm bringing you, here are some ways that you can study the Bible, and here are tools that are available to you, that are available for you. And so every sermon, from the first sermon on this whole month, has been out of the tools that you have to be able to study the Bible. So I'm hoping that will be an inspiration to you. If your Bible study is here, to take it up to the next level. If your Bible study is non-existent, maybe you're been a little, you know, intimidated by God's word, because it's a big, you know, it's lots of stuff in there. Hopefully the series is kind of brought it down to earth a little bit, to where you're saying, you know what, I can do that, and I should do that. There's great, great stuff in God's word. So we'll continue in the format that we have been doing. We've been talking about all sorts of different tips and techniques. We've been talking about the aim. What is that? Author's intended meaning. Good job, good job. And so this is what you dig it out, okay? So if we're going to kind of compare this to like eating a potato, you know, you dig it out. You dig it out of the ground and you get it, and that's the digging out. That's getting the aim. That's understanding the author's intended meaning. We talked about getting background. We looked at different ways of getting background. We looked at cross-references and different things there that happened in the Bible. We took a pretty good hunk of one of our services and talked about cross-references. We talked about how you can just sit down with a regular dictionary and now that can elevate your Bible study time just by slowing down and looking up different words. We looked at that technique. And so we did a lot in the aim part of it, in the dig it part of it. So we got dig it, then we got eat it. So if you dig out the potato, then you eat it. And what that is, it's contemporary significance. It's processing the information that you just dug out. It's processing that and figuring out how can this best be used. And when you do that, when you take something in, you digest it, your body does that. You don't have to think it, but that's what's happening. And so, but when we're doing Bible study, we have to think, okay, how am I digesting what I just took in? How am I eating this? There's a place in Revelation where John is told to take the book and to eat it. And it'd be sweet to his mouth, but in his stomach it would be bitter. And that's just because of all the turmoil that in Revelation, talking about the good that happens. Yay, that's nice and sweet. But then all the things that are going to happen with those that miss out on what we have, there's some bitterness there. That's tough to handle. And so that was part of that illustration that was used there without getting too much into that. But the idea is eat it, take it in, figure out how does this work today? What's the significance of this? And then you use it in your body. The idea is not to be a couch potato, but to use that potato, any of those starchy vegetables, you know, to power you to do things, to be full of energy, to be able to go and do something with what you just took in. And so that's what we want to do at the Word. And so we've been taking different verses that you guys have submitted. Today we're just going to look at one verse, one passage, and we're also going to look at a study technique called character study. We'll be hitting that very, very end. And but one verse, this verse came from our children's director, Dawn Souders. She submitted this verse. It's Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, and it reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Some of you guys know this verse. "And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." So let's look at some background. We've been doing this from time to time, and I'm going to go back to the Life Application Bible. I bought one on Kindle. I had one that I used before school. I've got one in my office that I used during college, and so I bought another one that, thinking maybe it'd have some new stuff in there or whatnot. How many of you guys have a study Bible, had a study Bible before this? Okay, a handful of you. Okay, so you've got the tool. Hopefully I'm encouraging you to use it, maybe opening up some different things in there that you didn't know. Oh, wow, my Bible's got that? Yeah, it does. If you got a study Bible, it's a great tool. How many of you guys have bought a study Bible during this month? Okay, one? Okay, so, man, first service, you know, if we're going to compete a little, we had a handful of people in first service that bought a study Bible during this series. So, and that is a great tool. And those of you guys who are digital, you can get one cheap. $17 is what I paid for mine through Amazon. And I tell you what, you're going to spend $17 just on, you know, a ticket and some drinks or something at the ball game. You want to go see the Reds? How many of you guys have seen the Reds yet this year? Okay, so you're like, no, I know where he's going with this. I'm not going to raise my hand. Okay, $17, okay? If you've got money to go see the Reds, you got money to go out to dinner, you got money to go see a movie or whatnot, you've got money to buy a study Bible. And I tell you what, that study Bible is gonna bring so much to your life, so much life to your soul from being able to get into God's Word. So looking at the background from the Life Application Bible, in all the books in the Bible, in the regular Bibles, you have this, and study Bibles, it's a little more, there's a little more meat to it. But at the beginning of every book, there's an introduction to that book, and they kind of talk you through what the book's about, and they'll give kind of the author and purpose and all that. But in the study Bible, in addition to the little list of the author and the purpose and key verses and whatnot, they've got a few paragraphs that really describe the book. And so I've cut a couple excerpts from the Life Application Bible. I want to read to you, and then we'll take some notes on that. So this is on the background section. A proverb is a short, concise sentence that conveys moral truth. The book of Proverbs is a collection of these wise statements. The main theme of Proverbs, as we might expect, is the nature of true wisdom. And then a little further down in that introduction, it says, the word proverb comes from a Hebrew word that means to rule or to govern. And these sayings, reminders, and admonitions provide profound advice for governing our lives. So let's write this down, and this is going to be another tool that you can use. So we'll write this down. This is right from the background there, from what we just read. A proverb is a short, concise statement of moral wisdom to help us govern our lives. Now, let me suggest to you, when you're reading the Bible and you read the, you're in your study Bible and you read the introduction to a book, like if you're going to read the book of John, you read the introduction, you read the book of Ephesians, or for instance, Proverbs, and you're studying a verse, or you're going to start a book study on that book. Read the introduction and take a few notes like this. And just have it to the side. So you're not having to flip back. And sometimes writing something down, putting it in your own words or whatnot, it helps you to remember it. Okay, so we want to try and retain as much as we can. And having something like this sitting right beside you helps guide your study. So for instance, we see this, and we're in the middle of Proverbs. Say we're in the very beginning of Proverbs in the verse we're looking at, Proverbs chapter 3. And we say, okay, they're short, concise statements of moral wisdom. And so they kind of jump everywhere, these Proverbs. You'll have one about wealth, and one about wine, and one about women, and one about... they're all in there. It's all the W's. So we had a series on that not too long ago about the 6 or 7 W's in the book of Proverbs. And so there's a handful of them. But it's kind of a little ADD. So some of you guys, that might be a little attractive. But it's really a neat book. But immediate context then in a book like this isn't going to do us a whole lot of good, because you might have a verse on one thing and a verse on something completely different right side by side. But remote context is priceless in a book like this, being able to go other places. We're going to look at a cross-reference in a minute and get some remote context. But before we do, another thing that's in the introduction section, as I described, was the purpose and the author and the time. And so in the introduction of your study Bible, you would notice that Solomon wrote most of the Proverbs. So it's going to write that down. Some of you guys knew that. But if you didn't know that, that would be helpful to know, especially where we're headed. That would be information that, when you found something else out, you'd be like, oh, okay. So Solomon wrote most of the Proverbs in the book of Proverbs. So when we use a Life Application Study Bible, just a regular study Bible, we see some of the cross-references. And last week, we spent a good deal of time looking at how to use cross-references and how valuable that tool and technique can be. One of the cross-references mentioned in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, takes us to 1 Chronicles. I'm going to read that to you. It says, and you, my son Solomon, okay, this is David speaking in 1 Chronicles 28. And you, my son Solomon. So David was Solomon's what? Yes, okay, so a lot of us knew it, but if you didn't know it, right there you'd be able to say, oh, okay, David speaking, it's Solomon, that was his son. And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. So if you were to look at the immediate context of this verse, of 1 Chronicles 28, if you just flip over a page, you find out at the very end of chapter 9, something, a very important event in David's life happens. Guesses? He dies. And so when you look at the immediate context of chapter 28, these are some of David's last words to his son. And when we compare, when we look at this cross reference, hopefully you'd start to see if you put this side by side, and that's another tool or technique that I want to show you today, is that sometimes you can put scripture side by side, especially when you see these cross references, and start seeing some things. We looked at that a little bit last week of in the beginning. Remember that? In the beginning in John's gospel, and then in the beginning in the book of Genesis, you lay those verses side by side, and you're like, aha, I see something. You take these verses, and then this makes it very personal, because these words from David to Solomon in chapter 28 of Chronicles, they are basically the words that Solomon shares in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 in our verse that we're studying today. And that makes it very personal. These are words that came from David to Solomon, and Solomon is passing them along. I mean, David would know something about this. Well, let's go and write this down. I forgot to do this. So Proverbs, this is another little quick, simple note on the background. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 is linked to some of the last advice that Solomon's father gave him. So David would have known a little something about trusting the Lord with all his heart, wouldn't he have? You know, we don't have to get too much in depth with David's life. I mean, it just, the story that a lot of us know about David. David and, what was that? David and Bathsheba. David and Goliath. David and Bathsheba's different path. But David and Goliath, trust in the Lord with all your heart. He kind of showed that in that story. And there are many stories through the books that talk about David's life that we see how David trusted the Lord with all his heart and how things worked out when he went that way. We also see some of the times when things didn't go well, and those are times when he didn't trust God, when he leaned on his own understanding, Lisa, Bathsheba. So, you know, that story illustrates that. But then we also see a lot of other places where David had great faith, and he knew a little something about trusting the Lord with all of his heart. He also knew a little something about depending on God's understanding, listening to God, depending on God's wisdom as the first king of Israel, or second king of Israel. David also knew a little something about glorifying God, wouldn't you say? Anyone say Psalms? He knew a little something about giving God glory, about praising God. I mean, we've got just hundreds of psalms there, and a lot of them credited to David about David's outpouring of his heart, glorifying God. David knew about how God would honor a life of trust, of faith, and humility with divine guidance, and he knew that he would make his path straight, and that's what Solomon's translation of what David had said. So let's take a look at these verses real quick, kind of paralleled, because this is really neat to be able to see things like this. So we'll go with David says, Solomon says thing. David says, serve God with wholehearted devotion. Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You kind of see where Solomon got that. David says, serve God with a willing mind. Solomon says, do not lean on your own understanding. See how let's lay these things parallel? You can get a lot of depth from these, and they start feeding each other. That's one of the beauties of the Bible, is the Bible helps itself make sense, which is awesome. So David says, acknowledge the God of your father. And Solomon says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And it's pretty cool to see how this falls out. And just from looking at cross-reference and doing some digging and kind of playing things out. David says, if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Very strong words. Solomon's translation of that is, and he will make your paths straight. This was in the beginning of Solomon's time as king. We're going to be looking at a character study at the very end on Solomon, and we'll kind of get some perspective on this. But we see David at the end of his life sharing this and saying, look, if you go this way, things are going to be good for you. If you go this way, it's not good at all. And David's speaking from experience. So we see this as Solomon kind of translates this. He's like, got to make your path straight, which is true. But there's a little more experience in the words that David shares. And then we see Solomon's take on this and how maybe he should have listened to his father a little more, or even the wisdom that God himself gave to Solomon. So another tool that comes from the Life Application Study Bible are these little life application. This is where the Life Application Bible gets its name. In the margin of the Life Application Bible, so you got the text, and in the margin, typically the outside margins, they'll have life application little things, little excerpts. And in the digital version, which I'm assuming you got the digital, the Kindle version. In the Kindle version, they've got just a link. They don't have the whole thing. They've got a link. So when I was reading through in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, it has a little thing, and I was like, well, I'll click that. I wonder if it connects with this. And it was exactly, it was right on Proverbs 5 through 6. So I went and I read it. And once again, I'm not using any of my tools. These are all tools that are available for you that I'm hoping you'll get into. So I went and I read it, and I want to read this to you because this is such a great little breakdown here. It says the title of it was Strategy for Effective Living. And it says, Strategy for Effective Living begins with God's wisdom, respecting and appreciating who God is, reverence and awe toward God. Strategy for Effective Living requires moral application, that's trusting in God and His Word, allowing His Word to speak to us personally, being willing to obey. Strategy for Effective Living requires practical application, that's acting on God's direction daily. And then Strategy for Effective Living results in effective living. Those things result in effective living. Experiencing what God does with our obedience. So that was a little margin note there. And so that's when I read that, I was like, man, you could build a whole sermon out of that. So if you're teaching class or doing something like that, having a study Bible, sometimes you look at those little things and there you go. You have your lesson plan right there for you. Now just expand on it or take it and digest it and figure out how you can teach it. You know, use it. That's one of the things. How can I share this with other people? And so that's what I kind of do on a weekly basis, but it's something every one of us can do. So if you're on your tips and tools sheet, technique sheet, at the very bottom of the use it section, it says, you know, how can I share this? Think of how you can share it with someone else. And so that would be a way to look at that little margin thing. And then what I've done is I've made some notes based on that margin. Instead of four, I've got three that kind of combine some of the ideas of that. So let's go and take notes on that, all pointing towards Proverbs 3 verses 5 through 6. Trusting in God is a moral application of acknowledging God. I thought that was really neat. That was a really neat insight to that, something I wouldn't have thought about on my own. And that was trusting God, that's a moral application of acknowledging God. And he says, acknowledge God in all your ways. So here's one way you can do it. You can do it by trusting God. That's a moral application. Allowing his word to speak to us and obeying it because we trust that God knows what's best. We trust that God knows what he's talking about. We trust God's moral compass because it always points true. Ours doesn't always point true. So we have faith in God. We do what he desires and we don't do what he would desire us to stay away from. We trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Or as David would say, we serve God with wholehearted devotion. So then we go to serving God with a willing mind, which is what David had said, or what Solomon said, to lean not on your own understanding. And so we can take this note based on that margin note, that acting on God's direction is a practical application of acknowledging God. So acknowledge God in all your ways. Well, we trust God, that's a moral, but then we also act on it. We do something with it, and that's a practical application. To be willing to live out the prayer, not my will, but your will be done. To live out the prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. To daily follow God's leading instead of leaning on our own understanding. To walk by faith and not by sight. Trusting in God is a moral application of acknowledging God. Acting on God's direction is a practical application of acknowledging God. And so when we put these together, then we see that acknowledging God in these two ways results in a more effective life. Acknowledge him in these ways and he will make your paths straight. Or as David shared it with Solomon, there will be consequences. Consequences if you do this, consequences if you do not do this. There will be consequences if you choose to trust in God. There will be consequences if you choose to lean on your own understanding. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Acknowledging God through trusting him and acting on that trust will result in a more effective life. Life will be more productive. Life will be more full of good things. Life will be more fruitful. Life will be more rewarding. And that's a powerful set of notes. What you just wrote down came straight from a margin note in a Bible that you could get for, you know, $17 or $10 if you want a different version. If you want a print version, you go up to the $25 to $35 range. But that's still, that's not a whole lot of money for something that's going to be a great, great, great tool for your personal time with God. So let's talk about the use it section. We've done a lot in the dig it section. We've done a lot in the contemporary significance, the eat it section, the use it section. We haven't done a whole lot in here about that. And what I want you to do is I want you to go on and grab some small groups. So we'll need to, if you can slide back just a couple of rows and join that little group. And then if you guys can kind of figure out if you're going to have one big group or a couple smaller groups, but once a small group, so you guys start forming your own. I'm not going to do this. You guys are kind of getting the idea of how this works. So go on and form some small groups. And then what we're going to have is I want you to work together and to use these techniques. What we're going to do in your bulletin, okay, get your small groups, but if you can listen to me just so we can keep moving. Get your bulletin and look at that section. It says small groups. And we'll have the questions up here. And then, Patty, we won't go to the next slide until, because there's music attached to the next slide, so it'll start playing. So we'll stay on this slide. So this is what's in your bulletin. It's also on your sheet. So take those questions and discuss them in your little small group. And this is based on Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. We took some notes on the background. We took some notes from a margin note. So these are small group questions you could do with your family. You could do with friends. You could do with, you know, you can have a Bible study at lunch with someone from work. And you could meet together, have a study Bible, and just do this exactly. So take a few minutes, discuss these questions. Some of them might bring things up. Some of them you might say, don't have much on this. Then just move on to the next question. If you get one question that really stirs up a lot of conversation, stay on that question. So take a few minutes. I'll give you a few more minutes on this section than I will on the next. All right, I love hearing this. I hate to interrupt, but I want to give you guys a taste of it, but I also want us all to be able to share a little bit with each other. So I'm going to start back here with Lonnie and you guys. What were, like, one thing that kind of jumped up that you guys ended up talking about?
Knowledge.
Knowledge, okay.
Gaining the knowledge from the study.
Okay, so what is this knowledge? How are you going to use that then? What's the use?
I hope I use it to make me a better person.
Okay, so using the knowledge from this passage to make you a better person, to help improve your life. Wait, you're living? Okay. You guys down there? What did you guys discuss? Do you have any one part that jumped out? Where does it touch us? Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. And you guys are still whispering over there. I want you guys to be able to learn from everyone else. Can you guys hear me? I think I'm coming through all right. So right here, we have a couple here. They mentioned breast cancer. And going through breast cancer, she said it touches her that way because of the trust of knowing that you can trust in God. And that's a big deal. And a verse that's a very popular verse, but having it brought up at certain times can really impact. Yes, very powerful. What about you guys here? This little group. Mo talked the last time. Who's the spokesperson? Still thinking on this group? Pass and come back. Okay. All right, what about this group? What's something that popped up over here that... What came up over here that you guys are talking about that's... in the... What? Trust. Okay. And what? Oh, that's a big one. Trust and not taking it back. I have faith and I want to leave this with you, God, and then... No, I think... Yeah, I'm going to, let me help you with this, God. Let me help you, because you're not doing it the way I want it to be done. So, all right, what about you guys? You're one group?
We were talking about when you go through a special by case, the surgery, and whatnot, trying to find out how God really works.
So we went through, you said surgeries?
Yeah, how he intertwines in your life, and you go through stuff like that. You realize that it means business.
Yes. Okay, so it's a trust on experiences. So you go through an experience, you learn that you trust God, then it helps you to trust him more with the next experience.
You can't in the first place, but actually see it in action.
Mm-hmm.
Down home, so to speak.
Yeah.
Can't deny it. So.
Good stuff. Same thing? Okay. Trust builds on itself. Too soon still? All right. Got a talkative group over here. So, what'd you guys hit on? Oh, wow, that's really cool. God has our best interests in mind, and for us to be reminded of that. So, right, so sometimes things don't go the way we'd like them to go or we'd hope them to go, but in the long run, God's taking care of us. He's got a plan. And even if it's not going according to his plan, he has a way of making it work later. You know, the whole Romans 8:28 thing. Yeah, excellent stuff. One more chance. Are you guys talking it out? Or It's okay. We don't have to have something per group. It's all right. But this is something where you can think about the questions and how they can be applied. So we got... I was at this group on this side, wasn't I? Righteousness in the direction it tends to direct us. Okay. So... Like, how so? How do you use that, though? How does that apply Monday?
In our lives,
okay. Okay. So when you're wanting to go one direction, then learning to lean on God's direction, it helps our decisions. We had that in first service. They had a real thing talking about decisions at work. That even verses like this, because sometimes we compartmentalize our lives, and it's valuable to have God's word should be everywhere in our life. Yes. So what do you guys have here? Very personal questions. It can be. Okay. Well, that's fine. That's how you kind of took. Well, we'll get into some personal time here in a moment. So that's fair. So let me get you guys and two more. Knocking books. You don't know where you're going with it yet? Oh, you took a different direction.
Well, we're looking at this Proverbs
yeah.
text and saying, okay, how does it apply?
And gotcha. I gotcha. So trust in the Lord and lean on his understanding, but there's another place in Scripture that says, ask God for whatever you want and he'll give it to you. So how do those work together? I gotcha. Yeah. So then there's another connecting verse in there if we're looking at kind of remote context that if you delight in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart, which kind of helps to connect. So if you're delighting in the Lord, then the things you want are the things that he would want you to want. Like that song, Hosanna. We've sung that before here. Break my heart for what breaks yours. You know, that whole thing of, I think that helps. That's helped me. It still is tough to read that and say, you know what? I asked for a huge glass of chocolate milk and it hasn't come yet. So I asked God for the ability to fly or, you know. So, but yes. Two more groups. What do you guys have here? We're all stupid sheep. The blunt group.
We don't have to have all the knowledge. We don't have to have all the answers.
We don't have to have all the answers. Yeah, God's got them.
And as stupid sheep, we need to have the
just follow. And Solomon's a good example of what happens when we lose track of that we are stupid sheep. So what about you guys here? Okay, so from this group, being a younger group, talking about trusting God with their future and looking at that and saying, you know what, I don't know what's happening. I don't know where, you know, we got college bound, we got not so college bound and in college and, you know, looking forward to that part of their life and saying, you know, what's what? Huh?
You said looking forward to.
right? Yes. No, you're not looking forward to college? Oh, golly. So the problem with college for her is you have to pay for Wi-Fi. So, oh, the horrors of life. So what I want you guys to do, go on and turn back here. Let me have you guys, because I know that we'll enjoy doing this for the next half hour if I let it go on, which is awesome. One thing I want to share with you guys in this little thing, and this group said some of the questions were a little personal for people that you don't quite know very well, and that's okay. I completely get that. Some, you know, one of the other groups was like, hey, we didn't quite get anything. And that's okay. That's okay. One of the things I'd like for you to understand or see in this is that little sheet that's available online. It's also at the information center. Hopefully you kept the sheet that you got the first week. You can take that sheet and you can take things like this morning where we talked about Proverbs, you know, 3:5-6, or you know, a lot of you have children in our children's programming, and they come and they're like, you know, what did you study about today? Well, we talked about, you know, we talked about Elon or whatever, you know, some we talked about one of the judges, and if you know a little something about that, or you can start asking some of these questions. You can ask them those questions, and it becomes a place where you can start these questions with your children or your family member, your friends. These could also be question starters for people at work. If you're sharing and talking with someone at work and you say, man, we talked about this at church on Sunday, and it really hit me because I thought, man, this verse says a lot about trusting God with my future. This verse says a lot about trusting God with my decisions and making righteous decisions, or whatever it is. These questions can help you to be able to internalize it so that you can also take it outside and start some either small group type discussions with your children, your family, your friends, coworkers, whatnot. So these can be very, very, very useful, and they're in your hands now, so you can use these. So before we go to the next slide, what we're going to do is we're going to have about 2.5 minutes of just some real interpersonal time, just you and God. And I want you to take that next section of questions. It's in the bulletin. It'll be up on the board, on the screen in a few minutes. And I want you just to think about those things and ask those questions between you and God. So take just about 2.5 minutes. We're going to listen to a song while we do this and just get real personal with this between you and Him.
Yesterday's a wrinkle on your forehead. Yesterday is a promise that you've broken. Don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes. This is your life, and today is all you've got now. Today is all you'll ever have. Don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes. This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life.
Another technique that you can use in Bible study is to do a character study, to just kind of look at a character. In the new in the Life Application Bible, there are places where you can go for just this character studies. And I had to click through some of the books around this area. I went first to 2 Chronicles and had to go back to 2 Kings, 1 Kings. I think it was somewhere in maybe 2 Samuel that it had the list that finally Solomon was in that list. And so let me read to you. This is straight from the Life Application Study Bible about Solomon, a character study on Solomon. Wisdom is only effective when it is put into action. Early in his life, Solomon had the sense to recognize his need for wisdom. But by the time Solomon asked for wisdom to rule his kingdom, he had already started a habit that would make his wisdom ineffective for his own life. He sealed a pact with Egypt by marrying Pharaoh's daughter. She was the first of hundreds of wives married for political reasons. In doing this, Solomon went against not only his father's last words, but also God's direct commands. His action reminds us how easy it is to know what is right and yet not do it. It is clear that God's gift of wisdom to Solomon did not mean that he couldn't make mistakes. He had been given great possibilities as the king of God's chosen people, but with them came great responsibilities. Unfortunately, he tended to pursue the former and neglect the latter. While becoming famous as the builder of the temple and the palace, he became infamous as a leader who excessively taxed and overworked his people. Visitors from distant lands came to admire this wise king while his own people were gradually alienated from him. Little is mentioned in the Bible about the last decade of Solomon's reign. Ecclesiastes probably records his last reflections on life. In that book, we find a man proving through bitter experience that finding meaning in life apart from God is a vain pursuit. Security and contentment are found only in a relationship, personal relationship with God. The contentment we find in the opportunities and successes of this life is temporary. The more we expect our success to be permanent, the more quickly they are gone. Be sure to balance your pursuit of life's possibilities with reliable fulfillment of your responsibilities. So Solomon got this wisdom. He got this wisdom passed on from his dad. Some of his last words to Solomon. Solomon got this wisdom from God himself as Solomon asked for wisdom and God gave it to him. Solomon writes this wisdom. He records this wisdom in the beginning of this book of Proverbs, right here in chapter 3. At the very beginning of this collection of moral wisdom that we should govern our lives with. But as we read in this character profile, we see that Solomon didn't heed the advice of his father David. He didn't heed the advice that he himself wrote down and accepted as good, wise, moral advice. He didn't heed the advice that was given to him by God himself. He chose to live without it. He stopped trusting in God. He stopped leaning on God's understanding. He stopped acknowledging God in these ways. And as we look at Solomon's life, we see his path got crooked, not straight. The kingdom of Israel was split into two after Solomon's reign because of his decisions as the king of Israel. His decisions and actions didn't just affect him, but it affected a whole country, and it affected a whole country for hundreds of years following. So this is Solomon. And this was the advice he gave, and if he would have listened to his own advice, things would have been different for him. What about you? Who are you going to be? This is your life, as the song said. Are you who you want to be? If you aren't happy with where you are, is it because that you've leaned on your own understanding? Is it because that you've only trusted in your own leading, your own direction? Is it time to make a change? Is it today? Is it time to turn that over? To listen to a verse like this and see a character study on someone like Solomon, the actual author of this verse, and say, you know what, if he would have listened to his own advice that he wrote down, how would his life have been different? This is your life. Are you who you want to be? Is it time to trust the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding? Is it time to acknowledge God in all your ways? Are you ready for him to make your paths straight? It starts with your decision to submit and follow him. Who are you going to be today?